Okay, question for you. Do you have a groundbreaking song that the world needs to hear? Enter your song in the American Songwriter 2021 Song Contest today to win $10,000, promotion across American Songwriter, and a co-publishing deal with Live by Live. Get your song in front of contest judges who are number one artists like Paul Stanley from Kiss. Whoa, I gotta take a breath. Vance Joy, Martina McBride, and A&R executives such as Senior Vice President of A&R at Atlantic Records and BBR Music Group. Okay, what an opportunity. How do you enter this contest? You can go to americansongwriter.com/song-contest to enter. Use the coupon code ZAK, that's my name, ZAK, to save 10% on your contest entry. Okay, there we go. Get it done.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Episode 77, Mary Romani, the first music executive hire at TikTok, where she ran music partnerships. She is currently the head of music partnerships at Triller and just started her own agency label consulting company, Moon Projects, which is one of the most exciting companies in the influencer world right now. They have a partnership with Republic Records. They're working with some of the biggest brands on the planet. No one understands this space better than Mary, and that is the space of where influencers and social media meet the music industry. I love talking with her about this. She just has such an understanding and such great insight. The second time I have interviewed Mary, and it never disappoints. I love talking with her. I hope you'll enjoy listening. Here we go. Let's dive in.
Wait, so I just want to dive in, Mary, because I want to know, what is Moon Projects? Here we go. There has been a press release. We kind of know. There's a little bit of a description. Is it a label? Is it this? Is it that? Like, break it down for me. What is Moon Projects? I'm just starting here.
I appreciate it. I love it. Moon Projects is my baby. It's my heart. It's my vision. It's my entire career, my dreams all happening and coming into fruition. It's three tiers. There's a record label. I have a joint venture with Republic under Universal Music Group. Thank you, Mati, Avery, and Wendy for that support and love. That's one aspect. Another aspect is I consult. I consult for everyday people, for mantra companies, for brands, for record labels on various things. Best practices on short form platforms, what their presence should look and feel like. Do you think this song will work well on TikTok or Reels, that type of thing. And then I do creator curation and vertical strategy. So if a beauty brand, a food, a beverage, an apparel company wants to launch a campaign in a short form platform, they will hit me up and ask me my guidance and advice and what that should look and feel like. And then I take on that project with my approach. You know, Moon is unique. There are many agencies out there. Of course, after the TikTok boom, a lot of influencer agencies popped up where a lot of people kind of self-proclaim to be experts in this industry. And I know that I trust my taste and that I actually worked at TikTok. As we all know, it's in every press release, first hire of music North America, you know, but I'm going to own that because I was, and it was very different and very early, but I think I really helped, you know, lay down some bricks on that path. So I really, truly understand that ecosystem and how your presence should look and feel. So if I can help partners in the industry with that, I'm all for it. So that was what Moon Projects is.
Okay. So breaking it down, consulting strategy or services.
Mm-hmm.
So can anyone kind of reach out to Moon Projects?
They can.
And
but I don't
hire
have to
you.
Say yes to everybody.
You don't have to say, so what do you say yes to? What kind of projects do you like? Are you trying to take on?
Yeah, here? It's a good question. You know, this is the beauty of having your own business. You get to be selective on
you get
who
to do whatever you want, Mary.
Yeah. And so for me, it's like, is this worth truly like my time and effort and energy, but also like, is this going to work in the ecosystem? Not everything does translate. And I don't want to just take a check to take a check or just say yes to say yes. I really want to be a part of their journey and their growth. So you know, music, ironically, is always the most challenging in my opinion. And so a lot of labels or music manager companies will ask me to help them launch campaigns with a new single or album or EP. And I tend to pass on those for various reasons.
Are those challenging because it's a very cluttered space, or why is that challenging?
It's challenging because music and, you know, being on the music team and being there for nearly 2 years, it's really up to the ecosystem on what songs they want to use for their content creations. And it was even frustrating for me and my colleagues there because there's so much new music coming out every single day, as you know, and how can we help shift the environment to use these incredible songs in their content creations? But we couldn't, you know, even with playlisting and pop-ups and banners and push notifications and campaigns and influencers, and you can shift it a little bit, maybe for X amount of time, but then it would drop off because it wasn't natural and organic. So sometimes there's always exceptions to the rule. If I hear the song or if I know the artist, I can have more of a long-term approach with them and help them. But I'm not personally a fan of, let me do a 2-week influencer dance campaign, take your check and move on. I want to be a part of like viral, authentic moments.
So that is a brand, like what was that? A product, a hair product, a clothing product, I can't think of products. That's what you're working with. So a company reaches out and says, hey, we need to grow our social presence with this. And then what? First, you decide this is the right client.
Correct. I hear their brief, you know, so I'm working with a beauty brand. They have a new product coming out in the fall. It's a moisturizer. Who are you trying to target? What does the packaging look like? What are you hoping to get out of content creations? What is the messaging you want to relay? So I kind of gather all that information and then I have a think on it. Then I look to see what's organically happening in various platforms, what's happening in pop culture, what trends are bubbling, what creators are bubbling in various diverse verticals. And I come up with a creative proposal and then pitch back to the company. This is my approach. My approach is really from the ground up, kind of old school grassroots marketing. I really believe in offering something to everyone, and that kind of creates love to the masses simultaneously. So if I have a beauty product I'm pushing, I think many agencies think I'm only going to hire beauty creators, but that is not my approach. I'm going to also hire artists and illustrators and comedy and memers and fashion and cooking. And you can be creative in peppering in your brief through various verticals and communities, and then kind of building the simultaneously excitement, hopefully, around your initiative. And I think partners appreciate that approach because they see that it's more long-term, it's more authentic and organic to that space that maybe they don't quite understand just yet. And I'm not just trying to be transactional, and some people just want that transaction, and that's fine. There are many agencies to do that, but that's not what Moon does.
Okay, wait. So are you going to be doing marketing for artists across TikTok also?
Yeah. So it's not so much marketing, right? So what Moon Projects does is I keep a close eye on what is happening in the ecosystem consistently, whether it's music or whether it's an everyday creator or it's a trend or something product oriented. But I want to, of course, pay close attention to the music and to the artists in that space so I can amplify them, hopefully with the JV with Republic in that sense. And then another section would be when I do meet artists or do work with record labels or music management companies, what is their presence for their artists look and feel like on these platforms? What's the best approach to use their music within content creations? When they do want to hire creators, who are the types of the creators, what verticals, and so forth? That's how I support the industry that way.
So when like an artist comes to you and they're like, hey, we're going to hire Moon Projects.
Yes.
Do you do like a full analysis, or do you kind of like go through their socials, kind of figure out where they're at, and then start talking about like best practices and put a plan together? Or what's the process to sort of
exactly
pull them into the service and help them out?
Yeah. So sometimes a lot of management companies will approach me more so than individual artists, but that does happen too. It's like, you know, we have this tier 1, tier 2 artists or emerging artists that loves being on TikTok, loves being on Instagram, but we can't get their songs to trend. We can't get their music to move. What's the best advice? And then my advice is like, generally artists aren't the ones starting the trend to their music. It's an everyday person. So the artists just be themselves, be authentic, and then use their music over and over again, their content creation. And then in parallel, why not reach out to creators who do fitness, who do cooking, who do fashion, and have them just use that music behind their everyday content and get it familiar and build presence that way. So that's how I support.
What if like a brand approaches you and wants to hire you to work with a specific brand?
Yeah, that's, you know, love that. So I do that pretty frequently. And so what is the product? Who are you trying to target? What are you trying to get out of your campaign? So once I get the brief, essentially, I come up with the campaign proposal. I see your products, this is how I envision it working in the ecosystem. I have a ground up approach, more long term. I suggest a more to 4 to 6 week campaign because it can take up to 2 to 3 weeks for something to get noticed in that space. And then hiring diverse creators in diverse communities and, you know, building presence naturally and then seeing where it resonates and then escalating from that point.
Is a little bit of all this, like there's a little bit of an element of luck into this. How do you factor that in with these campaigns? Of course, you need good strategy to have good luck happen.
Sure.
How do you factor that in when you're making promises or talking about people? It's just, hey, let's figure out the strategy. Let's figure out, like, how does that work?
Right. Well, look, there's no guarantees to anything in life, as we know. And, you know, if Taylor Swift got married, if she isn't already, like, right, that's a big secret. We don't know. You know,
oh my God, is she married?
Is she married? We're not sure.
No, Mary.
Let her, I mean, I don't know, but let her live her life. We love her. But yes, you know, but if that were to be announced or to happen, the whole platform would just shift completely about that, right? It's very reminiscent of what's happening in pop culture. So when you are working with campaigns with brands or labels or artists, you have to be mindful and, you know, and share that sentiment. So I always try to manage everyone's expectations. And it's also why I prefer more of a macro creator approach and working with everyday emerging creators. And you can build and grow from there. And by having that long-term campaign, the 4 to 6 weeks, you can assess every week and see, is it moving in the beauty community? Is it moving in the fashion community? Is it moving in the art vertical? Oh, it is. Let's double, triple down with those creators and then see how it navigates from there versus let's do a 2 week campaign, hire the top creators and cross our fingers and hope for the best. Doesn't always work out that way.
Do you think with TikTok marketing, do you think it's more direct marketing in the sense of let's do this and get direct sales right away? Or is it more like brand marketing where these sales might not translate, but this is going to raise your brand down the line? Or is it a little bit of both? Or can you create different campaigns tailored for each?
I think you can, but I think it should be the, I think it should be the mixture, right? Because if a brand comes to me, they're like, we have a new product that's launching in the fall. Can you help with that? Like I can, but then I have part of my conversation with them is like, well, don't you want to maintain presence after that campaign? Because you're going to have more products to launch. And so it's important that they stay consistent. And the same goes with artists too. You know, you don't want to just create content right before your single or album comes out. You want to be active continuously so you don't drop off because it does move and shift so quickly. Where if you take a month break, the platform is very different than what you remembered. So it's important to be on there regularly.
Do you have this credibility that if you approach influencers with a pitch or with an ask to do something or with an opportunity that you're pitching a cool product or something nifty, like your name is behind this? Like, I feel like Mary Romani is a hip name. People associate hip with Mary Romani. Like, you have to be careful what products you pitch because the products have to be hip and people have to want to work with products, even if it is some kind of business transaction.
100%.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it needs to be cool, right? But like, how do you define cool? And cool is subjective. And so yes to what you're mentioning, but really it's more like, am I going to get creators excited about that? So yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I don't believe though, in like, let me hire an illustrator and then tell them what to do in their content and in their profile. Like they already know how to make great content. They're making it every single day, multiple times a day. I'm going to be like, we have this product. Can you tell me how you would integrate it naturally into what you're normally doing without making it look like it's an ad? And they're always more open to that because I'm letting them be themselves. You know, creators also don't want to move away from their brand identity either. So it's about that nice balance. But I do believe that anything can go. It is TikTok. After all, we've seen so many crazy trends and sounds and, you know, viral moments with random things. Like who would have thought like Popeyes would have a comeback, you know, last year? Like I, you know, but.
It's so how do you distinguish when, because you do have a label also. So I'm assuming you are looking for, has anyone been signed officially to Moon Projects?
Not yet, but we are very close. There is an offer out to an artist, you know, and it's fairly new joint venture. Definitely have my eye out on a few artists, chatting with a few artists, but I do want to be selective. But yes, I do view these platforms as many labels do as an A&R hub on, you know, elevating them and advocating for them. And I did this almost every single day while I was at TikTok. So sort of to answer your question prior, I do think I have a bit of a reputation of like, I'm reaching out to you because I believe in you for whatever reason. And I tend to get a good response back.
So a couple things. I think in the land of TikTok, what viral means has changed. Early on, a million views was viral. Yeah. Today you get a million views and you go, like everybody gets a million views. Like, come on. That's like,
that's true.
Today, what defines viralness on TikTok or on or Triller or any of these platforms? And what specifically are you looking for to sign? If you see a great creator that you believe in, but has, you know, doesn't have the following yet, will you work with them? Or are you really looking for numbers and comments and engagement and everything that, you know, everyone else is kind of looking for?
100%. You may have to remind me of some of your questions because I may go on a tangent, but yes. So for viral
moments. Let's see if I can remember them also.
Yeah. For viral moments outside of music, I look for things if various diverse communities have all kind of come together to replicate something that touched them. Like, I don't know if you saw the Adult Swim trend, like maybe about a month ago, but it was so
remind me, what was the Adult Swim
trend? It was where I guess people were incorporating the AS logo in their videos really naturally. And it was a song that a producer just put into the app, and it was really the theme song from Adult Swim. And people just integrated AS organically. I never really watched Adult Swim, but I guess like at Nick at Night, after midnight or something, the commercials would get kind of weird and cryptic and dark. And that would tell the viewer it's switching over to different programming to Adult Swim. And so someone did that on TikTok and everyone joined in. It was amazing. So I constitute when diverse communities kind of come together and lean on a trend, that to me is viral. It's kind of hit everyone's radar. For music, it's different. I am not a fan of reaching out to artists just because they have a viral track or because their song is trending all of a sudden. If anything, it's the opposite. Many of the artists I approach, even at these platforms, just have an incredible voice or play music really well, maybe have 10,000 followers, 20,000 followers, but I see something, I hear something, and I want to get to know them.
So degree are the platforms kind of creating these viral moments? Not to take away from the creator.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes of something blows up and it feels like was that because this was so special or because the platform was pushing in sort of behind it? So it's kind of your job, if you're a signed artist, to sort of come in and distinguish, was this something that was algorithmically pushed or is this something that the community is getting involved with and really special? How do you kind of distinguish that? Or is that something that you look at, or are numbers? If it goes viral, you know, it goes viral, who cares?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I remember especially in the early days of TikTok, like I would be like, there's a song by this artist named Lizzo, you know, it was January of 2019, Truth Hurts, that's going crazy. Everyone's doing, I took a DNA test, you know, and the company didn't really want to prioritize it. They were focused on other things. And I would just walk over to editorial. It was two people at the time. I'm like, let's do a hashtag for this artist and for this trend, you know? And they started doing that with me almost every day, at least weekly, if not that. And that's Lil Nas X, Old Town Road, and, you know, Lizzo and Abso Facto. And there's so many artists and trends that the music team and other teams have kind of come together and talk about how can the platform take this further, because we like the trend, we like the content, we like that it's aiding in diversity or it's targeting older users or a vertical we want to amplify versus suppress. So I definitely feel like platforms definitely will pull the levers once they see what's organically brewing. They also have things, and Triller does this too, we have like an editorial calendar where we have hashtags around like tentpole moments. And sometimes you'll have some virality against those things, but I think really the platform should amplify what's organically brewing and take it to the top. For the numbers question, yeah, I'm not a fan of like, even with creators that I want to hire for campaigns, I prefer smaller level everyday creators that don't have a lot of followers. But if you look at their posts, they have really great engagement, really great video views. They make solid content. They're consistent. They understand the space. It's okay that they don't have a lot of followers. Followers is a tricky thing, I think, a lot of platforms. Why do you have, you know, 1 million views, but maybe only gained 5 followers? You know, there's
so... Why is that?
Why is that? I think people, well, I think sometimes people think for TikTok and maybe many of these platforms that they'll assume that you'll still see it on your For You feed, but not always. Or maybe they just want to be cool on who they follow. Don't want to follow too many people, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Ratio of follower to following We care about this.
We care about this. It's a judgment thing. Absolutely.
It really is.
Especially on Instagram, I think, for some reason.
Especially on Instagram. But is that, like, to me, that shows a lack of engagement where it's easy to get views on TikTok, but for someone to follow you, that shows a real commitment to that creator, to follow that person. So to me, like, that's way more significant. Like, if I was signing artists, I would be, I think you want to be looking at the followers more than the view count, right? Or not necessarily. I don't know. The views.
I think so. Awesome. I think for major labels, yes, of course, right? They want to make sure that there's an audience and a base there. But I feel like you can definitely shift the follower number pretty quickly if your content becomes consistent and resonates. I think a lot of creators, not even artists, may have crazy VV and engagement, but the followers are low because perhaps what they are creating isn't so unique, even though it's funny and captivating and it's a trend, versus a creator that really is being authentic in their brand and it's the same type of content every time they post. And so you may be more apt to follow that account because you really want to engage what they're creating. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Wait. So the big question I think is, what is Moon Projects looking to sign to this JV with Republic Records? Do you need some viralness happening, or at the end of the day, are you just looking for the best creators? They could have zero followers. Maybe it's probably somewhere in between. What are we looking for? What kind of artist?
Listen, I wouldn't mind a viral moment because that helps everything, right? But after I sign them, after they're signed. But because the opposite has happened and it caused some issues, you know?
What's the opposite? You sign a viral creator.
I find artists early, very early. I love the early development aspect, chatting with them, engaging, wining and dining. We're all getting along, listening to music, viral moment with one of their songs. And now it's a bidding war with every single label out there, you know, and perhaps I'm not their number one choice anymore. And that's fine, you know, but that's part of the business that happens. But to that point, like, you have to be there, especially now, even earlier, and just hope that your instincts are right, because I don't want to chase the data. I don't want to chase, like, oh, this artist is trending, let me just sign them. It's like, have you heard their music? Are they qualified? Like, have they ever played a show before? I was chatting with artists that I wanted to potentially sign, and they were telling me that other labels were sending them contracts without even having talked to them, you know? And I thought that was crazy.
Wait, they were sending contracts before anyone reached out, or they were just
sending the contract? Yeah. Can you imagine? You, like, check your email and there's a record contract from X label and you're like, I haven't had a conversation with you, you know? And so that's not what Moon Projects is. I'm looking for left of center. I've always loved my diamonds in the rough. I'd love to develop, but an artist, a voice, a sound that stands out, that's unique, that I'm not thinking I found them on TikTok or Reels or YouTube, that I'm like, oh my gosh, like, who is this artist? Like, what is this song? And it gave me goosebumps. I want to get to know you more. I want to hear more about your goals and story, in that sort of my approach.
So when you're doing A&R, are you kind of a slave to the For You page and randomness, or how?
I have tricks.
Because I feel like my For You page is very much kind of like in a rut. Like, I feel like I'm seeing the same content, the same types of artists, maybe even the same artists. Like, I feel like I'm not seeing that many new artists on my For You page. What are some tricks here, Mary?
I don't want to give away all my secrets.
No, we can't. give me some, Mary. What are some of the tricks?
Well, I will say that happens to my For You feed too, is sometimes you have to refresh it. You have to teach it, like, hey, I like other things too, you know? So I would say, when that happens to you, and I'll answer your question, go into what you liked in the past, and that will help rev it up. Start searching for things that you just want to see. That will help rev it up too. And this refresh your For You feed, and you're basically telling the algo, I'm not liking what you're showing me. You also can dislike content too, and the user is never notified. Pro tips. I'm sure it's gotten a lot more sophisticated since I've left too. So I always have one of the best For You feeds. I have, like, burner accounts, like, especially when I work there, because I'm like, don't send me the cat video. It's going to mess up my A&R feed, because I would find artists so early. But once I find one artist, I go to see who they follow. And then I'll see if they follow any artists. And then also, when you follow an artist, the algorithm will pop up suggestions that they feel are similar. And sometimes you'll find some nice treasures in their suggestions. And sometimes you're alarmed by what they're suggesting just based off what they think you like. But sort of that's, you know, been my play, is like following certain accounts, and then I get the suggestions of other accounts. and go from there. But many of the artists that I love, they're not participating in hashtags or trends. They're just out there with a camera in front of their desk and singing or playing music. And it's great.
Like, to me, I think the best creators are the ones where you don't feel like they're faking that smile or that enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Or like, right, you just want someone who's a little quirky and a little different, but, you know, feels like they're being themselves. And I think you want someone who makes you feel like individual and part of something at the same time. Like, you want to feel like, I feel like an individual for loving this creator, but I also feel like I'm part of a community who gets this, right? Like, what are you looking for? Is it just like a feeling you just know, or are there certain traits that you always see that you think creators have?
Really good question. Yeah, definitely. I really do rely on my instinct. You know, especially when I was there, I would always be tagged like, you're the creative person. You don't look at data. I'm like, sorry, I come from the music industry, you know, but we vibe off like the goosebumps when we hear the music in a room or at a show. And maybe perhaps because I'm a little bit older, I didn't grow up also with just the internet as my only option. And so I kind of rely on my old school techniques of like something inside of me telling me there's something here. But yeah, I mean, look, also these platforms, they'll be in our lives forever, but they're going to evolve and grow and change. And we can't just think about what's going to work just for TikTok or just for Reels or another platform. Is this going to resonate? If the artist goes on tour, can we hear the music in film and TV? Can we hear collaborations? Can we envision them on award show stage? Like, is that je ne sais quoi there? Like, are they unique enough where they're going to be relatable to the youth and older generation? Does anyone sound like them? Are they in their own lane? So kind of like just traditional A&R aspects. And then I reach out to artists, and some of them don't even know if they want to be artists. They just love to sing. And I'm the first
one to say when you reach out to someone, and does everyone kind of know you in this ecosystem, or do you have to establish credibility to some people? Like, what's the pitch?
It's a good question. I just say, hi, I heard your music. Your voice is incredible. I would love to set up a call and learn more about you. You know, sometimes it depends on my mood. I may be like, I have a company called Moon. I used to work at TikTok, and sometimes I don't do that because I'm like, they could just check on my website or Google or whatever. But if it's via DM, because sometimes artists do not list their emails. And so artists, if you're listening, please put contact info on your IG. It's very hard to get a hold of many of you. But on IG, I make it a little bit more specific on who I am. Most of them respond. Sometimes I don't hear, but that's okay. Sometimes they've never heard from anybody in the industry. I'm their very first person, or they've been hearing from lots of people. and we have another conversation about that. But yeah, it's a mixture.
I think Mary would be a great first contact in the music industry. do these people kind of freak out sometimes, and they're like,
I've had it a couple of times. I've had meetings where like, it's an honor, or like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, about what? I don't know what they're talking about. And then it's like, oh, it's about you. I'm like, what? And I have imposter syndrome. I'm in therapy. I have anxiety. So like, humble is on my forehead. Sometimes they play it cool. I think for me, really, it's like, it's not even about like the win, or I want to sign them to Moon, or I want to be their first. That'd be great. But also I want to protect them. I used to manage artists. I've worked in the industry for a long time, the music side, and it's very competitive. A lot of them are very young, they're inexperienced, and I want to make sure that they're doing their due diligence, that they're not rushing because they feel they have to, and that they understand the pros and the cons of their meetings and so forth.
Right. Absolutely. So, okay. So let's say you're having a viral moment. Like, a friend of mine had a viral moment yesterday. In 5 hours, she got a million views on like a video and TikTok.
What was it?
It was just her playing a song in a bar in downtown Nashville. And it like kind of blew up. And now I think it's at like 2 million views or something. You know, one video, she kind of went from like zero to like 2 million. What, when you're having a moment like this, what is it? Is it fueling the fire, more content? How do you take advantage of it? And if it really starts to roll over as an artist, you know, if it really starts to roll over, what are some of the things you can do to try to build a fan base or try to capture some of the eyeballs you're getting?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to send them somewhere? Like what's the best way to capitalize on the eyeballs of a viral video?
Definitely engagement, you know, so staying on top of it, don't drop off, commenting back on comments in the post, liking posts, all this tells the algorithm, oh, they're active. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Sharing that video on outside socials, doing duets with other creators that perhaps like made a really cool video against yours. And we've seen those now more and more than ever. You know, using the green screen effect and be reactionary towards that. Those videos perform really well. Just showing your gratitude, I think, goes a long way in the community as well, because they feel like you're happy that they sort of discovered you or help amplify you. They're part of that journey with you. So if you keep on that momentum, it will keep on happening. And I said it so many times when I was there, and I see it now post, like if an artist has one song or moment that trends, they're going to have another. I don't know why.
Why is that?
I was going to say,
we don't know why.
We have our assumptions, our hunches, algorithm, back end. They've been engaged. You know, is it a tagging thing? I don't know, but it's always been that way. So, and I think especially with a big song, it sort of like lives in this like playlist forever. And then it will have like another life down the line. I think people maybe get nostalgic and they want to bring back old songs that trended or content that trended, and they reimagine it in a new way. So it will trend again. But just really leaning in and then being really consistent on your content game. So making sure you're posting videos a couple times a day if you can, and just keep going. And knowing that perhaps they might not all hit that number again, but now look how people have now know who you are, and keep going.
So knowing that you're likely to have another viral moment or another viral song if you have one, does that mean that, like, you know, a month later you want to put out another song, a week later you should be putting out new music, you know? Just being authentic with it and just putting out a lot more content, like knowing that information, how do you think you respond to that as an artist?
I think as an artist, you have to decide, like, what would I have done if this didn't happen? Like, was I planning on putting out singles every month or every couple of months, regardless of this, and this happened to happen? Or is my EP ready now? Like, should I put it out? Should I maybe just do pre-saves? Should I use this moment to go live every week and build my audience more so, and then test out some new music and see what responds well, and maybe do a cover of a trending song. And if that does well, release that on Spotify. And then in parallel, I'm probably having conversations with labels right now, and I could show them, like, look, there's a lot of interest in my future and what's next. And I haven't even put it out yet, but how many pre-saves I have, and that will help leverage your deal too. So I think artists taking a little bit of more time in building their core foundation. So if they don't get signed, or even if they do and they get dropped, they still have some kind of community that will advocate for them. Because there have been so many artists that have been signed from TikTok, and I don't know where a lot of them have gone, you know, outside maybe a handful.
What do you think the ones who have been signed from TikTok, but who are doing it right, what do you think that is? Like Jaden, I don't know if you would say Jaden Smith, like, he just played Lollapalooza. Some of them feel like they're really becoming real artists. Can you quantify that? What are the best ones doing right to capitalize on? To me, TikTok is like top of funnel. They pull everyone in. Maybe they get 5% to come to their shows and buy the tickets. Maybe that's enough. Like, how do you capitalize on the audience and try to become like a real artist, or, you know, someone who's around for a while?
I think translating out of these platforms, actually, you know what I mean? And not prioritizing always being on them and being some kind of influencer and getting out there. I mean, now we can with some COVID restrictions and doing shows, but also, like, don't just put all your money in basket on that one platform that blew you up. Now it's time to build your YouTube and your IG and your Snap. And are you on Twitch? And do you go on Roblox? And are you taking meetings to get your music in syncs? And just, what if TikTok wasn't there? What would you be doing as an artist? So you have that promotional tool that took you months and months, if not years ahead of development that you would normally had to have done. So now is the time to do everything else while this machine is kind of building it for you.
Are the days of growing the followings of, like, the Charlies and the Addisons, is that, like, impossible today? Can anyone build that kind of massive following, or is it totally a different ecosystem?
That's a good question. I think they can. I think it probably will surpass those numbers, if anything. I mean, the app is only growing even more. So it's crazy to imagine to have that many people following you. And I don't know, like, the semantics of, like, what actual real users and who's actually translating over from, like, their TikTok to a Spotify or to another platform. But, you know, brands love that. They love reaching out to the masses and just thinking, oh, I targeted 100 million people with this one post. But part of what Moon does is say, but are you? Because that person posts 6 to 8 times a day. The content is exactly the same in pretty much every single post, but they hold up a different product or they play a different song. So how do you stand out? How does that connect with anyone watching it? Why would they want to drink it or try it because that one person, but what about everyone else that's not a part of those ecosystems or those communities? So perhaps you could alter your budget and, you know, save yourself some dollars and do something a little more long-term and creative. And they're very open to that narrative, which is why I have my company. And if my approach is not something that they're seeing results with, which hasn't happened yet, or they're not content with it, you have the other alternatives, right? But if you kind of start from the top, where do you go from there? So it's always, I think, best to build from the ground up.
And do those influencers at the top, they kind of have less credibility, right? Because they're promoting so many products. If you go with a smaller influencer and this is their one product that they're pushing or their one thing, that means a lot to their audience and stands out, right? As something, hey, this is maybe a cool thing. Maybe
exactly.
We should try this, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Mary, how do you get the gig at EMI at the very beginning of your music industry? How do you get going back? I'm going back for a minute. Okay. How do you get the gig at EMI?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I don't think I've even said anything, but I started interning. That was my first experience in the music industry. I worked at Starbucks. I worked at the Auto Club. I went to junior college at night and on the weekends and online. And I was like a hodgepodge of different things and miserable and wanted to work in music. And so I applied for various internships and I got all of them because free labor. I didn't realize that would be so easy. And so I went with Sony and I interned for a label called The Work Group. And they had signed this artist called Fiona Apple and Jamiroquai and a few other big artists. And I interned in PR and it was not for me, but that landed on my resume. And then I still had my regular job and was going to college and I was uninspired and wanted to get into music. And I don't know how I found the role with EMI and Astroworks and Virgin, but I saw that looking for college artist development reps in Los Angeles. And so I applied and I got the gig and I was the ADR for about 2 to 3 years for LA and Orange County. It was amazing. And that's truly the role where I learned so much about the music industry.
So is that what I'm trying to figure out is how did you become like the digital influencer, social platform expert? You climbed the ranks, you work at Universal, you work at Razor and Tie. Eventually you work at, you know, you work for management companies, you get hired by like, how did you become the one to get hired by TikTok? Because the path seems very music industry. Were you like, did you know about this gig? Were you trying to fight for this gig or did someone approach you with it? How do you get the gig at ByteDance?
You're so good at being a detective. This is so interesting. I love these questions. So yes, I predominantly have only worked in the music industry for about 17, 18, 19 years. My last former role was the director of A&R with Harvest under Capitol Music Group. And I loved it. I was in the tower. It was so cool. After that role ended, I had my son and my perspective.
Moon. His middle name is Moon, right?
His middle name is Moon, hence Moon Projects. And I got a moon tattoo on my wrist.
The moon tattoo. So when you say, you said at the beginning, this company is my baby. It's
literally
literal.
Quite literally.
So
yes.
You have your son. Yes.
Yes. And it just changed my perspective. I didn't feel the need to kind of go back to label life. I sort of felt like I've learned it all. I've done various departments, companies to your point. And I wanted to do something different. And I had a good year to think about that. And so I was like, you know, I don't know much about the tech side, DSPs, digital internet culture, and I need to know because I love this industry. I love working. I don't want to let that go. So I have to empower and amplify myself. So I started consulting for various apps in the music space. I reached out to colleagues on social, LinkedIn, be like, hey, I think I want to get in the space. Do you know when they may need help, you know, and not even knowing how I would help them, right? Because what am I going to do for these companies? And many of them were like, actually, we're looking for someone that knows artists, that knows record labels, that understands publishing and licensing, that has good taste, you know, and a lot of these tech people don't, they would admit to say that perhaps they don't know the creative side of many things or how artists speak and think and the contacts. So I would be able to come in and help, you know, support them in those ways. And one sort of led to another. And my son was getting a little bit older and I was like ready to kind of go back to full force versus kind of consulting casually. And I had a lot of great meetings with YouTube, Google, Amazon, some big platforms. And I never thought I would even get those meetings after leaving Capitol because I had no digital experience. But just like when I was an intern, it didn't take many things to add to my resume to get those doors opened. And hopefully, you know, they liked my personality and they vibed with me. And yeah, then I saw the job for TikTok, did not know what it was. I remember seeing some ads on Facebook with one of the creators, like doing some kind of weird mouth thing. And like, what is this app?
Were you into like, I guess at the time, like Instagram, like, were you into
a little, stuff? I'm not an influencer. I don't even have Twitter. Like still, like
yeah, you're very under the radar. Like, there's not much out there on you, Mary.
Like my IG is now public and almost every other day I change it to private. And then I have like my colleague at Moon telling me to put it back on public, you know, but, yeah, I like to write letters and send people a postcard, you know, and talk to them on the phone. But again, this is like enter me being a certain age, I suppose. But no, I'm not an influencer, but I love pop culture. And I think that's where pop culture lives. And so for me to stay relevant and to be on point with what's now, what's going to be next, I have to live in that world. And I threw myself in it. And I think that's been part of my success too, is kind of keeping up with current times versus trying to learn like many of my colleagues are. And they're stuck.
So you would thought like, I'll go work at Amazon or Spotify or something like a DSP. And then do you like, what was the culture like at TikTok when you interviewed at TikTok?
Oh God.
Was it an interview or like, what was yeah. the, and did yeah. it feel competitive or did nobody even know what this thing was? Like nobody had any idea.
I love it. I love all these questions. It definitely was an interview. I had like six of them, maybe more. And I was interviewed by colleagues from Beijing and they had flown out and it was in a shared workspace in Venice. And they showed me the app and it was very much like, what do you think about this? It wasn't who you are. Tell us about your background. It was like, let me show you this product. Do you like it? Yes or no? And I didn't, and just gave them advice and input. And they just asked me lots of product-based questions. And then that led to another, you know, interview slash meeting and learning more about their growth and what they wanted to do. But to your, like, yeah, they actually, looking back, they didn't really say what they wanted to be. You know, they were more positioning themselves as like they're a very big company in Beijing and they've now gotten to the US market and they want to build this platform and they bought Musical.ly and they don't want it to be just for kids and just lip sync and dance. And they love music and they need help with music. And I'm like, I know music and I've been working at some startups. Yeah, that's my thing. And so I think they were talking to some people, but perhaps it was just meant to be. And I met a very big executive from overseas and she came out here and I remember she showing me a picture of Troye Sivan and she's like, do you know who this is? And I'm like, Troye Sivan. And then I think I got the job like the next day.
That was it. That was all.
Thank you, Troye.
Was Troye big a couple of years ago? That was like,
I guess she just liked him, you know, and she wanted to make sure that whoever she hired in music knew
who Troye Sivan.
Yeah. But you know, they originally, I don't tell people this much, but like they originally wanted me to be the global head of music for the entire company. And I was like, okay, so let's be real here. Like, I appreciate it, but I'm not quite there yet.
Really? Why not?
I know. This is where like my therapist had been like, if I only could see you then, you know?
It was different. It was a different time.
I don't think I was ready for it, you know, but I definitely was that role de facto for a good year and a half anyway, regardless.
I always thought of you as that anyway. You were always the head in my heart, Mary.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
I feel like sometimes I'll go on TikTok and I'll scroll on TikTok and I'll like trick myself into thinking that this is actually productive because it's like, it's research. It's like pop culture.
Yes.
Like for Moon projects or like how much time are you spending on Triller,
a lot.
On TikTok, on these apps? Like not like, how are you going to be able to tell your kid to put the phone away and to like get off TikTok? Like this is controversial. He's going to see you on TikTok, right?
I know. So, you know, he actually does not like TikTok lately. He's been opening up to it, but like when I worked there, he really hated it. But you know, he's just turned 7. He's very young. And so he's like, why can't you work for YouTube or Roblox or Minecraft? So that's like where his passions lie.
It's lost on him.
But no, I mean, especially when I was there and yes, now I'm in the app a lot, especially TikTok, because I do feel like the other ones sort of just reminisce and mirror what's really happening in TikTok. I don't really feel there's a lot of originals, viral moments happening in the others for me to really focus as much time as I do with versus TikTok. But it's important because how am I going to be able to then give advice and guidance to the brand or the company that I'm consulting for if I'm not in it all the time? And would love to build out the staff a bit more and have some eyes to help me so I could have a bit more of a balance. And yeah, be a better example for my son. But he's literally on the couch watching YouTube right now. So
you gotta yell at me, say to enough of the YouTube, go on, more TikTok. Enough.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He's made a couple with me. It's been fun. I'm not that good at making them. I have a lot of ideas around them, but yeah, I prefer to be behind the scenes.
Parents used to tell their kids to go outside. Now yes. We're telling them to get on TikTok and to become part, you know, enter society, become part of culture. And,
you know, Ryan's toy review, like that kid, like makes millions upon millions a year, you know?
Yeah. There's some dude who comes up on my thing who just always builds Legos, and I'm fascinated by that. Okay. Couple industry questions here.
Okay.
If you are a established artist, or if you're maybe like a legacy artist, you can still have like a crazy moment on TikTok. Obviously the Fleetwood Mac thing. If you're a manager, if you're a label person who's working with more of a legacy artist, any tips on how to take advantage of the app and how to create a little bit of a moment? Or are these things like impossible to create?
Not at all. I mean, that is your moment, right? And Fleetwood Mac is a great example to bring up. We had noticed there was like this alt culture around Stevie Nicks for months, like the witch TikTok. And, you know, we're trying to engage the band and their companies about being on board, but it's always hard for some artists, especially if they are maybe not around that type of environment and form of promotion, like how they fit into that universe. And so a lot of times they're reluctant, or they just don't like social media. And then it happens for them. So like, what do they do when it happens? You know, it's like, just if you have it on board, now is the time to onboard, start your accounts. You know, kind of to what you asked earlier, like with an emerging artist, like show the appreciation to the ecosystem that they are discovering you perhaps for the first time. They're loving you. They're making great content. Share it, replicate it, do as much as you can off platform, and then stay consistent after if you can, because as you know, we mentioned, like they will most likely have more if they stay consistent. But a lot of artists do kind of drop off. Have you seen the Greta Van Fleet trend with
Oh my God. What is this Greta Van Fleet? What's the history? Like, was this purely just like a native thing in the app that someone just noticed and thought was kind of funny from SNL?
I think so. Like, I even like watched the videos on like, why is this trending? Like those, that kind of content fascinates me too. Like the,
why are people, what being a massive, like Led Zeppelin fan and just like, I just like eccentric singers or whatever. Like, I didn't think what he was doing was that weird or that like, was that, it was like quirky maybe, but I was kind of into it.
Yeah.
Everyone, I think, is like kind of making fun of it a little bit.
100%. But then like it shifted right after a few days where they were like happy to mimic versus like putting it down in a weird way. Yeah. And then I saw people doing drawings of it, and I saw, you know, cosplay, and I knew it was going to trend. So I hit up my friends at Republic. I mean, they're, you know, the JV, like, are you aware of what's happening? And they were aware, like, what should we do? I'm like, onboard the band, like the same things that I told you, you know,
the band wasn't on TikTok.
No, you know, funny enough, we try to onboard them. Like, I think me and my colleague, Danny, maybe the first month of when we started, we had a chat with their management company and everything, and then it didn't happen. And then, yeah, they had a trend.
I'm curious now, I'm going to see the band actually, what's today? When I'm seeing them tomorrow in Nashville. And I'm curious if
like, Greta
Van Fleet, they're playing Bank Amphitheater in Nashville tomorrow. And I'm curious, like if I was them, I'd be like, I'd like mimic those moves every night.
Yeah.
They're not weird. It's very subtle.
I know, it's like this, the head twitch thing. It's pretty interesting. Yeah. I think it started with like someone thinking that was Pete Davidson, like an SNL play. I'm not too sure. And then it grew into this, like people like, wait, are we watching to what he's doing and how he's following after he sings and stuff.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, see like when they perform that song, if he sort of like, you know, dramatizes his performance that way.
That's what I want to know. And now to me, I feel like that's their biggest hit. Like that became their most recognizable song. And I'm a fan, like I know all their music, but now I'm going to be waiting for that song. Okay, Mary, in our final moments together.
Yes.
What are the top influencers, artists, or just like accounts to follow? Like who should we be keeping an eye on? Maybe the ones that we're not so familiar with, but that, you know, Mary is in on. Because I remember your account used to be the account to follow for the hippest art. I think it still kind of is for the hippest artist. Like if you post about a new artist, you're just always in the know. Like you always know what's coming around the corner.
I appreciate that.
What should we be following?
I love that. I really miss curating TikToks. I had so much fun like posting TikToks on my IG stories. I need to do that more. Well, I posted about it last night. I saw this incredible artist named M. Behold. She's amazing. She reminds me of, you know, Fiona Apple meets Regina Spektor meets Lily Allen. There's an artist named Perovi who's fantastic. She just got signed to Sony. Her voice is like velvet butter. It's beautiful. It's this Adele style soulful artist. Nathan Archie, he's another incredible, like incredible tone, like Luther Vandross, like baritone. And he's just this like young 18-year-old, you know, amazing guy from the Midwest. If you just go to my TikTok account and just see who I follow, that would be a good indication of who to follow and keep your eye on. And even in my IG, I would say, in terms of creators, I have to admit, like, I don't like know a lot of their handles, right? But just like you, I see them all on my For You feed, but I do have a nice catalog of creators that I sort of put to the side in my notes, in various like crazy categories, you know, for reference.
You've got to have like just crazy lists of like when a brand comes to you for an activation or something, like you have to know who to send that to. So you just have to have
like exactly
lists of influencers and people to reach out to and just a database of this stuff, right?
Exactly, a database, and it's evergreen, but I really have more of a content focused database versus creators. I do creators of course as well, but it's like if I see something, oh, this would be great for McDonald's or Adidas or Tropicana, I'll bookmark it to take those meetings or to tell similar companies about it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So if you are an artist or a brand or a company, you're like, we need to hire Moon Projects to help us out with our digital strategy across platforms. How can they get in touch? Can they get in touch?
They can get in touch. You can reach out to me. I am here.
How can they do it?
Hello at moonprojects.com or Mary at moonprojects.com. And I will do my very best to reach out to you immediately. I would love to hear about your project and brief, if you could, an email, and then we will get back to you.
That was a personal email that was just giving out here, given out here on the show. Personal email. You've got
hard to guess, right?
take your pick. You can do the general hello, or you can do the personal email. That's for you to decide. What have we left out here, Mary? Have we not covered anything?
Oh my gosh. I just want to thank you. I want to say thank you for being such an advocate for, you know, art and creativity and music and the internet and just pop culture. Like, it's been incredible. So yeah, happy to do this anytime.
Have we done it again? There was so much pressure at the beginning to live up to our first interaction. Have we captured?
Yes, I feel so comfortable. You tell me, would you want to do it again?
Are you kidding me, Mary? We've got to do it like every 6 months to update on what's happening. What,
oh
like,
my God.
What have we missed out on any big trends that you think are around the corner? Maybe not like trend like in the TikTok world, but just like digital trends. Like, have we missed out on anything that you think is coming that we should know about right now? I'm kind of putting you on.
Oh no. Like I mean, I don't think it's a secret, but like, there's definitely this massive subculture of like the vintage that's constantly been underground and pop platform. And then that translated obviously to fashion with like 90s and 2000s. And I always see like 80s as well. But so I think there'll just be some back to basics that companies may revamp and have another chance. So it's a great time for legacy brands to really get active on these platforms, in my opinion, and reintroduce who you are to Gen Z. Your parents, their parents may know, but they don't. So now is the time because everyone wants to be kind of retro. And in terms of music, I think I'm craving similar, like sort of the singer-songwriter, the instrumentation, the 70s to sort of 90s type of alternative aspects. I think that's hopefully what's come to next as well. But this is always a weird time. It's end of summer before back to school holidays. So sometimes the content isn't so great, as you've been seeing with that one hand.
Yeah.
I cannot stand it.
Get that out of here. What is that?
I hate those trends.
Like, I sometimes talk with managers or, you know, label people or whoever, who I think sometimes feel a little discouraged. And I often hear like, it's impossible to break through today, where there's just so much clutter. And I almost think that's like the moment of right now is the smallest viable audience, and you don't need 100 million followers. How can you make 10,000 followers to be, you know, diehard true fans?
Yeah.
Is that the, you know, if you're talking realistic, if you don't have that viral moment, is that the approach? Like, forget 100 million, let's get 10,000 to like our music, right? Like that's what people should be focusing on.
Yes.
Right. Is like,
not everyone's going to play at the Hollywood Bowl. Sometimes you're just going to get local club gigs, and that still puts food on your table, and you still have a successful career, you know? So you can't not one size fits all, right? And at the end of the day, you just have to be yourself, because if you're not, then you're not going to want to do it, and then you won't have that success. So you have to stay true to who you are. So yeah, try not to get caught up in maybe the hype around those things and just keep that connection. And that's why there are so many viral moments. And when I see something that's really maybe inappropriate or hilarious, the first thing I do is look in the comments to see if I have a community of people that also agree with me, you know, and there always is. And so there are a lot of like-minded people, but they have to get to know you first. So yeah, just be you.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah, just be you. So wise, so wise.
we've learned a lot here. We've learned that if you want to move into a different industry, you have to take some smaller gigs to credibilize yourself, to take those bigger meetings.
I think so. Why? You can go back to school. You can spend tons of money and get a degree, MBA, and then you have to still maybe start out with a junior role anyway. So why not just go in that field that you want to go in and learn everything and yeah, and grow up that way.
we've learned about Moon Projects. Very cool label, imprint, agency, service. One of the hottest at the moment. To me, Moon Projects specializes in pop culture and understanding trends and how to plug into them above everything else. So yeah. If I'm coming to Mary, I want to know about the trends, what Gen Z's into, what influencers are into, and I want to figure out how to make my brand, how to place my brand in somewhere that connects to that group of people. And exactly. To me, I feel like that's why I want to come to Moon Projects, is to reach that demographic and other things too. But am I right? Is that a Moon Projects? Does that sum it up?
Yes, it sums it up really well. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I can even, you know, give you an example. Like I've of course signed client NDAs, right? But there is a brand that I'm working with where they wanted to launch this new beauty product. And traditionally you look in that platform and see what other beauty products and accounts have done. It's like, try this new XYZ lipstick, eyeshadow, foundation, moisturizer, what have you. It's so great. But how does that resonate? How does that make you feel like I want to own that and go out and buy it, you know? And so it was more about changing their narrative and be like, let's make it more about the before and after and the conversation, like, oh, it's actually working. Look how it's improving my texture, my skin. And then when people start to see results, when they start to see that it's being affected positively, they want to go out and then try something. And so that is going to be a longer campaign, right? Because you can't do all that in 2 weeks. And so when I explain that perspective to partners, they tend to understand and are very much open and doing a campaign that way.
I love it. Moon Projects. What's been unsaid here?
Not much. Are you watching television?
Do I watch television? Yeah. No. Should I watch television? What do you mean?
Do you watch TV? I'm curious, like, if you're all about internet, you know, pop culture, like, do you also watch what's on the tube and do you listen to the radio? But that could be our next podcast. We can talk about traditional media.
Well, I don't watch, like, well, I have a TV behind me. I have TV. Yeah. Technically, because I like to watch certain things. I'll watch like Ted Lasso. Does that count? And I'm watching like I'm streaming.
Yeah.
But I don't really watch live TV.
Yeah. I think streaming can fall under the TV bucket in some ways, but I think there's something kind of magical about traditional TV, basic cable, and the radio. You know, it does cater to a massive generation and what we've experienced for years and years. So it's important to maintain relevancy in that world and what's happening too.
I still love watching SNL. Like, yeah, me too. Chills when I watch SNL. But yeah. Do you think that like Gen Z likes SNL or they're not?
I think the cool kids do, the cool ones, you know.
If you're listening to this and you're a cool kid, you should get on SNL. Yes. SNL trend.
Yeah.
Mary, what a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
Great to see you.
Keep you too. Updated. I will. Hope I'll get to Nashville soon.
Come to Nashville. I was supposed to be in LA and then I had these meetings come up, so I had to cancel my trip.
Well, let me know when you're here. Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Okay, perfect.
We'll hang with Jacqueline Sarin also.
We have a lot of good stories that we could talk about with you. Yeah.
Iconic. Stay well. Talk to you soon.
You too. It's a good chat with you. Bye.
There you have it. Mary Romani on the podcast, episode 77. I love it. I mean, I feel like now I have all the tools that I was missing to become a global influencer. I think this might be my moment. I might do it. Thank you for the insight, Mary Romani. Thanks for coming on the show. Always great talking. Really appreciate the time. Hope you enjoyed listening. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman, and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at nashvillebriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. The Zach Kuhn Show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, and we are also part of the American Songwriter Podcast Network. Check it out if you haven't already. I think that's it. That's all I got for this week. We'll see you next time. Bye.